Good afternoon, Cell Group, and a very happy Feast of Trinity to you. And we're looking at last Sunday's Gospel, Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. A couple of things. First of all, after the death of Jesus, the Gospels offer two kinds of stories. There are empty tomb proclamation narratives and resurrection appearance stories. In the four Gospels, the empty tomb narratives broadly resemble each other. However, the stories of the appearances of the risen Lord are different in each Gospel. For example, Mark doesn't have any. Matthew has this scene. Luke has the road to Emmaus and a closing scene. John has quite a lot. He has the gift of the Holy Spirit, the whole story about Thomas, plus all of chapter 21. So there's no point in trying to harmonize all these stories. They are theological narratives, that is, a symbolic tableau exploring meaning for the time of writing. So another thing to worth noticing is that all the Gospels in their closing moments negotiate the discontinuity and the continuity between the experience of the historical Jesus and the risen Lord. For example, his wounds link up the risen Lord with the historical Jesus. Now, the question in people's minds at the time was, how will the Lord be with us? And there are different answers are given in the final paragraphs in Matthew's Gospel. Teaches us that the Lord will be with us in the mission. So we'll come to this text, and it's a symbolic scene which gathers in the teaching of Matthew's Gospel. And the connection with the Gospel is clear. There's the mountain, there's the teachings, there's the mission, and being with you. It shares with the other Gospels that common feature of doubt when the risen Lord presents himself, as well as the idea that mission is inseparable from that reassuring appearance of the risen Lord. So let's look at the text. So first of all, the 11. Judas hasn't been replaced yet. And they set out for Galilee. Now, Galilee is the place of Jesus' mission, and it's where he gathered his disciples, proclaimed the kingdom in the Sermon on the Mountain. And here we have a mountain, to the mountain where Jesus had arranged to meet them. And Galilee is just surrounded by lovely hills, maybe 300 feet high, but no mountains. It's a poetic kind of way that Matthew has of linking up Jesus' teaching with that of Moses, who went up Mount Horeb, which is a mountain. And that tradition of receiving teaching to lead and teaching from God to form his people. So that same teaching has been given now by Jesus to his 11. So when they saw him, they fell down before him in verse 17. That's a very common account of how they meet the Lord after the resurrection. They fell down before him, they worship him. And when you think that these are monotheistic Jews, how they could worship Jesus and dovetail that in with their own beliefs of just worshiping the Lord. But the text is there, and it just shows you that they had this experience and they lived through this, but at the same time, it took centuries for the whole clarity to come about the Trinity, for the doctrine of the Trinity to evolve. And it wasn't until about the 4th century that the doctrine evolved to be the way we have it. But at this stage, they knew that Jesus was divine, and only divinity have people worshipping them. So Jesus came up and spoke to them, and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's a huge thing to say, an extraordinary statement of the risen Lord. Again, that's part of their experience of Jesus and how it fed into the development of the Trinity. That this is the Son, this is not just a prophet or a leader or a good man, he's God, and he's got the authority of God. All authority on earth and heaven has been given to me. So then the command, go therefore make disciples of all baptism. So go therefore make disciples of all the nations. So this is a big development in Matthew's gospel, because Matthew's gospel is characterized by this mission to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you know, Matthew's gospel is the most sort of Jewish of all the gospels. His community were made up mainly of Jewish converts. But this is the words of Jesus to all the nations. Baptize them. Literally translated, the word baptism, baptize, is immerse. And it's that was the tradition of the earliest times of Christianity, baptism by immersion. And there's the Trinity, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So these words would have been remembered, treasured, puzzled over. And as Jesus said, the Spirit will help you to understand all these things. So as I said earlier, it took like 3 or 4 centuries before they fully understood what that meant. And teach them to observe all the commands I give you. And know that I am with you always, yes, to the end of time. So that sense of mission then helps them to think of Jesus and his mission. And he's with them in their mission, because it's his mission. Teach them to observe all the commands I give you. That teaching commandment too, very important. We would have the word catechesis, the teaching, and it helps disciples to grow. So they're catechized. First of all, they're evangelized, make disciples, and then they're taught. So they're catechized. That's a whole huge thing for us as church to know and appreciate all the things that catechize and help disciples to grow, including, by the way, cell groups. What you're doing now is catechizing and being catechized. When you share with each other, you're catechizing. When you listen, you're learning and being catechized. But also we have the commandment to evangelize, to make disciples, to share our faith, and to help people to come to a belief. God bless you anyway, and that's as much as we can say about that fantastic part of Matthew's gospel. So just a couple of points to share on. Jesus commissioned this collection of believing and doubting disciples to carry on his work. We inherit that mission today. How do you see yourself as commissioned to continue the mission of Jesus? And a second one, Jesus told his disciples that although he would not be physically with them, he would be with them in new ways right through life. Have there been times when you were reassured by the love and support of another, even though he or she was not physically present with you? What are the things that help you to be aware of the presence of Jesus with you on life's journey? So we'll finish with a prayer. God our Father, you have given us a share in the life that is yours with your Son and the Holy Spirit. Strengthen that life within your church that we may know your presence, observe your commands, and proclaim the gospel to every nation. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you and the work you do.